Welcome to the 391st edition of Travel Itch Radio, brought to you tonight by the best holiday gift of the year, my book, The New Baseball Bible, notes, nuggets, lists, and legends from our national pastime. 480 pages for just a sawbuck, such a deal. Make sure you get the 2020 version with Mike Trout, Derek Jeter, and Tom Seaver on the cover.
And here at Travel Itch Radio, we also cover all the bases, including military ones. We talk to hoteliers, destinations, authors, writers, entrepreneurs, and tour operators, everyone connected to the world of travel, and try to cover not only the USA, but interesting, unusual places, people, and events around the world.
And so, as we look forward to celebrating Veterans Day next week, our honored guest tonight, our Staff Sergeant David Bolavia, Medal of Honor recipient and National Medal of Honor Museum Foundation board member, and Jim Connors, Chief Operating Officer of the National Medal of Honor Museum. Let's start with you, Sergeant Bolavia, and we'll call you David. Welcome to Travel Itch Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for making the time for us. As a veteran myself, I'm not only honored that you're on our show, but also that we're able to salute Veterans Day by spotlighting the forthcoming National Medal of Honor Museum. First of all, thank you for your service, Staff Sergeant. Are you still in the service, or have you returned to civilian life?
I'm a civilian now.
Doing what?
David.
You know, I work in radio. I'm a radio talk show host in Buffalo, New York. I have a morning drive show every day.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's fascinating, David. What led you to enlist in the military? Do you have parents or siblings who served?
You know, my grandfather, who's 100 years old and still with us, thank God, is a Normandy veteran, Bronze Star recipient. I grew up listening to those stories. I just fell in love with the sense of duty, how beautiful and just grateful I am to be an American. And, you know, being of service, the validation of serving, being with men from all different backgrounds, different religions, you name it, what we have in common, my generation. If my generation is going to be at war, if my country is going to be at war, you know, I want to be in the first in line to serve this great country.
That's terrific. That's how I feel as well. David, from what I understand, you're the only living Medal of Honor recipient honored for service in Iraq. Would you please share with our listeners the details of that service and especially what led to you winning the Medal of Honor?
Well, you know, it's hard to think of it as winning. You know, when you're in war and you've got so many dear friends that you love and you lose them, it's just weird. I mean, you're a veteran yourself. You understand that, you know, it's all about the team. It's all about the country. It's all about the unit and the mission. And to be singled out like that, it's just a really uncomfortable feeling. But luckily, I had all of these recipients from Vietnam, and that generation, the Vietnam generation in particular, you know, Gary Luttrell and Pat Brady and Gary Bikerk and, you know, Joe Marm, you know, these guys are living legends. I grew up, it's like hanging out with the Avengers, you know, I get like, you know, Iron Man and the Incredible Hulk, and these people were, I just held them in such high esteem. And then when you get to meet them, you realize that these men that you just held so, you thought so highly of, they're better human beings than they are what they did in uniform. And so they guided us, the Vietnam generation guided us when we get this award, they guide us through the whole process. And it's such a special generation, especially because those Vietnam men and women never got the love and the gratitude that we received. And yet it's the Vietnam generation that's the first group that protects us from all the, you know, all the crazy out there. They're our surrogate fathers, and they're so good to us. And being on a board with the Medal of Honor Museum, it's just awesome to be able to spend as much time as I can. I've become a fanboy, you know, when I'm hanging out with these legends, and I get to call them on the phone. I get to, you know, talk to Gary Luttrell. It's one of the coolest things in my life.
How many Medal of Honor recipients serve on the Museum Foundation's board?
You know, I know that they. I think we're at ten, right? Five.
No,
you know what? I'll tell
five.
You what. That number's going to be much higher, because one of the things that I've been really proud to be a part of this board is realize that, you know, what this museum represents is not just the living recipients. What this museum represents is not just the Medal of Honor. This museum is really about the warrior class in America from all branches and all generations. It represents the Buffalo soldier. It represents the Civil War soldier. It represents an entire American generation of valor. And so when I think of the members of the board and what this museum represents, you know, it's really all of us. We have so much gratitude towards the civilians that came together to make this happen. The amount of money that's being raised, the amount of support, it's really one of the greatest opportunities I've had.
And David, what does it mean to serve alongside former presidents and owners of sports franchises in making this Medal of Honor Museum a reality?
You know, I mean, first of all, Charlotte Jones, Charlotte Jones's reputation, it precedes her. Everyone has told me, you know, all these wonderful things about her as a professional, the type of individual she is. And then you meet her and you realize she's actually more dynamic than anything you could read. I mean, this is really an accomplished human being. Her leadership is incredible. A lot of people that are successful CEOs, they join boards and they just phone it in. They call up their friends, they donate money, and it's over. Charlotte Jones is, you know, the backbone of this organization, and she's put a tremendous amount of time and effort. Without Arlington, Texas, the people of Texas, the city, the way that the personal private partnerships, the government working in conjunction with private businesses, the Texas Rangers, the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, Texas is special. It's a very patriotic state, but we're just really blessed to have Arlington as our home. And there were many cities that competed for this thing, but we found a home in Arlington, Texas, and they've been great. And having the Major League Baseball and the World Series make a priority of you know, a shout out to what the museum is trying to do, and the attention that Arlington, Texas has received, for them to share that with us, it's really been a special relationship.
We are talking with National Medal of Honor recipient David Bolavia about the Medal of Honor Museum. Mary Ellen?
David, what does the Medal of Honor represent, and what should Americans think of it?
You know, I don't feel like a recipient. I feel like I'm a custodian of it. You know, it's every time I look at it, I think, man, someone's going to find out I have this. I got to return this to the person it belongs to, because, you know, I can't see myself as someone that can be in the category of a, you know, a Hershey Miyamura or a, you know, Woody Williams, who's 97 years old. He was an Iwo Jima with a flamethrower, and he's still with us. He still walks this earth. And, you know, a flamethrower, by the way, was a bad idea in 1943. It's a bad idea in 2020. I mean, this guy did so much for this country in such ridiculous circumstances. And you know, you look at this generation, Sal Giunta and, you know, Leroy Petrie, who, you know, lost a hand throwing a grenade. There's so many of these folks, and every time I'm standing in their presence, I'm just thinking, this award is emblematic of every single drop of blood that was spilt for this country. And, you know, it's just so awkward to receive it. It's awkward to be put on a pedestal for just doing your job. But, you know, the museum to me is really about young people having I'm a huge sports fan. I'm a diehard baseball fan. I love sports, and those were guys that I emulated, but there are heroes in this world, and some of them are wearing the Medal of Honor, but most of them are people you will never know, You'll never know their name. You'll never understand their story. But every day we wake up in a free society and we're able to say whatever we want to do and vote in an election and go out and live in comfort and security. It's because of their sacrifice. And for young people now more than ever in a very divided country, for young people to go to a building, a brick and mortar building where they could see why this country is special and why this country is worthy of sacrifice is one of the most important commitments, I think, to this country now more than ever. We need young people to truly see why America's special and why people sacrifice for it.
Absolutely. Now, what does it mean to you personally to wear the Medal of Honor?
I mean, it's awkward. It's really super awkward because Aww. You just don't ever see yourself, you know, I remember just shining my boots in basic training, and they would always put us in front of these giant poster citations, and you would read these stories. And I just remember thinking, I could never, ever do that. I could never, there's no possible way a human being can endure that or want to do that or choose to do that. And they become like super legends. They're almost superhuman. And then you meet the actual people that you read about when you were in basic training and you realize, well, what caused people to do things that they wouldn't normally do under fire? It's love. It's this award is the base. It's about loving your friends, loving your way of life, loving your country. And really valor is the essence of love. We don't fight because we hate. We don't fight because we want money for college. We fight because we love our country, we love each other, and we're willing to do whatever it takes to bring each other home.
Oh, David, that's so moving. What was going through your head when the president awarded you the Medal of Honor in 2019?
It's the most surreal experience in the world. I mean, first of all,
I'll bet.
I mean, no, seriously, you just are trying not to. I mean, it was 15 years since I've been in the military. I'm in a uniform I've never been, haven't been in forever. I'm trying to do facing movements. I'm thinking, oh, don't screw up. Don't pass out. All the things you don't want to do. But I was very fortunate to be able to have my guys there. And, when I needed my friends were there for me. They bled for me. They died for me. And I'm alive. I'm able to be a father to three children because I had men that cared more about me than they cared about themselves. And so I was blessed enough to bring, 37 of those guys to Washington with me. The president brought them on stage with me. And just like I was in Iraq, when I needed my guys, they were there. So we kind of shared it together. It was a great experience. And it's a wonderful fraternity to be a part of. It's life-changing. And you just want to live every day being worthy of it. It's not one of those things where you just put the award on and you're automatically an honorable person. You've got to earn it every day. And it puts everything in perspective.
David, as a veteran myself, I always try to schedule shows around Memorial Day and Veterans Day. In your opinion, why is it important to celebrate Veterans Day every year?
When you run into someone, especially when you see veterans wear hats and pins, you have no idea what these men and women have been through. And, when you have an award and you read a citation, my action got witnessed by someone. I had a reporter with me, and he videotaped it, and it got attention because someone witnessed it. How many actions have been done in our nation's history that nobody has seen? That the person who was involved in those actions lost his life, outgunned, outmanned. We really have no idea how much has been done. We only pay attention to a small snapshot. Any person that's willing to put a uniform on, nobody wants to die for their country. Nobody signs up with an eternal fatalism that I want to give my life, I want to bleed. We sign up because we're willing to bleed. We're willing to die. There's something more important to us than ourselves, than our future, our tomorrow. And every generation of American has made that sacrifice. And it's something that's, I think, in our – it's almost a pedigree of being an American. It's in our DNA that, you know, when other countries, technology, outmanned, outgunned, every person who's met an American on the battlefield has realized that when you're fighting for something more important than yourself, you can't defeat it. You can't defeat Americans on the battlefield because of the way we're raised and what we're fighting for is more important than ourselves. And I'm telling you, Veterans Day is the one day that really, I mean, Memorial Day is super special. People confuse the two all the time. They wish you, they thank you for your service on Memorial Day. They don't understand the difference. Veterans Day is a day of thanksgiving that we still have young people today at a time of war that say America's worth it and I want to serve. I want to make my country better. And the thing about veterans is we're better people because of our service. We're better neighbors. We're better teachers. We're better professionals. We're accountable. We have a moral compass. You want veterans in your community and you want veterans in your life. And those individuals are really the pillars of every community they live in.
Okay. We're talking with Medal of Honor recipient David Bellavia about the Medal of Honor, National Medal of Honor Museum. Mary Ellen, take the next one.
Now let's bring in Chief Operating Officer Jim Connors to tell us more about the Medal of Honor Museum. Thank you for joining us, Jim.
Sure. I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
When do you expect to break ground on the Medal of Honor Museum, and when will it open?
Well, we are heavy in design right now, and we hope to break ground in the third quarter, so about September of next year, of 2021. We hope to break ground, and it's about a 27-month construction period, and with the, you know, after we sort of work through any of the kinks, we hope we can open around March of 2024, about a 3.5-year period from now.
Oh, that's fabulous. Why was Arlington, Texas chosen as the site?
Oh, gosh, there's many, many reasons. Actually, David Bellavia mentioned a number of them in general. You know, we did conduct a targeted city search, and Arlington reached out to us during that process. And, of course, an initial attraction to doing a project like ours in Texas is the strong patriotic tradition in Texas. But when you look at Arlington, it's right in the middle of the Dallas-Fort Worth metropolitan area, or the Metroplex, as it's called. It's the fourth largest and fastest-growing metropolitan area in the country. Mm. And Arlington itself is, well, it's a notable destination, especially the sports and entertainment district. David was referring to the stadiums. There's three major stadiums right in this district. There's numerous entertainment and dining venues. There's hotels within walking distance. There's a convention center. Ultimately, there'll be some housing, and there's actually beautiful open space. The district alone attracts 15 million annual visitors, so we have a built-in market to reach out to. And this means we can measure our attendance at the museum in millions rather than thousands. And further, the Dallas-Fort Worth area has a very strong philanthropic tradition, and combined with the, you know, I think it's 23 or 24 Fortune 500 companies that call this region their home, you know, really gives a boost to our fundraising, which is obviously a big part of what we have to accomplish to build the museum. And the city officials of Arlington have been just amazing, so welcoming, helping us with a startup grant to help fund our design work. They've made land available to us. They're cutting through red tape. The list goes on and on. Every day we are reminded why Arlington, Texas was a great choice for us.
Jim, what can people expect when they visit the museum after it's built?
Well, you know, David got into some of this. You know, first and foremost, we're going to acknowledge and honor each and every one of the over 3,500 Medal of Honor recipients dating back to the Civil War era. But beyond that, we'll dive deeply into some of these, you know, amazing stories of valor, you know, primarily through engaging exhibits and immersive experiences. We'd like our visitors to have the opportunity to sort of walk in the recipient's shoes to get a real feel of what it was like to be in the situations they were in and the choices that they made. Ultimately, as David, I think, put so well, choices drip, you know, from a core of love for their comrades and for their country. But we'll also have, you know, video presentations, live presentations, many public events on the grounds of the museum. You know, ultimately, we want people to walk away inspired, through the lens of these stories and the values of the medal to be better, more engaged citizens, and really inspire them to be heroes in their everyday life. That's really what our mission is.
There's an education and character development center connected to the museum. What is its mission?
You know, we've already started to develop a leadership institute which will focus on young adults and adults. And you can imagine regular, you know, periodic and annual conferences, lecture series, seminars, that sort of thing, which would sort of define the opportunities and the responsibilities that accompany leadership to, you know, take the values of the medal and apply them to leadership, the leadership that's necessary to excel in our communities, in our businesses, in our governments, and other public institutions. The Education Center is focused on school-age children, and really we'll have a heavy focus on character development. And again, working with the ideals of the medal and help guide kids and make them understand how important that is for them as they grow and how they will obviously become our future leaders and basically represent the future of the country.
We're talking with Jim Connor, COO of the National Medal of Honor Museum.
Jim, the National Medal of Honor Museum Foundation, which Staff Sergeant Bellavia sits on, is also pursuing the creation of a monument to the Medal of Honor in Washington, D.C. Could you tell us a little bit more about that effort?
Sure. You know, you can't build a monument in Washington, D.C. without getting legislation. So we've been pursuing legislation, and actually it's been introduced in both the U.S. House as well as the Senate. The official title of that legislation is the National Medal of Honor Monument Act. And the legislation is 100% bipartisan. It's been sponsored by Congressman Vesey, a Democrat from Texas, and Congressman Wright, right here from Arlington, a Republican here in Arlington. They are the lead House sponsors, and Senators Cornyn and Kaine in the Senate. And in total, we have almost 40 additional co-sponsors. So we expect final passage of this legislation before the end of the year, regardless of the outcome of this national election everybody's focused on. And the bill, the legislation, will authorize us, the National Medal of Honor Museum Foundation, to build a monument on or near the National Mall in D.C., and the exact site would then be selected in consultation with the National Park Service in D.C. after that legislation passes. So we hope we'll be able to have a site selected in the next year or a little over a year, by the end of next year.
Oh, that's great. And the National Army Museum opens in Washington on Veterans Day. Is there a working relationship between the Medal of Honor Museum and the National Army Museum?
Well, you know, you mentioned I had an opportunity to visit that museum a few months ago, obviously before it opened. So we're actually talking about the opportunity for perhaps some of their collection they'd be willing to loan to us. And it's possible we could partner on some of their programming. So we do hope that we can have a working relationship with that museum and many other museums that, you know, tell the story of our great military history here in this country. And one of the unique things about our museum is, you know, when you think about museums such as the World War II Museum in New Orleans and others, a lot of them are looking into the past. We have the benefit of looking into the past, but we also have the ability to look into the future. There will be new Medal of Honor recipients that may be associated with past actions, but there'll be new stories and new important stories to document, record, save, archive, if you will, but also push out into the public and make sure they can be inspired by those stories. So we're really excited about that aspect of our mission as we move forward.
That's beautiful. That's what's going to make it robust. And what about other museums dedicated to the armed forces of the United States?
Well, as I mentioned, there are many of them, and we will be building working relationships with all of them. Actually, recently, just this week, there was an important article in Armed Forces News, I think it was, which talked about, I guess there was an audit by the federal government that looked at all of these museums, and collectively they have a lot of overlapping collections. So we think this actually might be a great opportunity for us to build our collection geared towards the stories that we want to be able to tell through building relationships with them. So we really look forward to that.
Jim, once the museum opens, how much time should visitors allow to peruse all the films and exhibits?
That's a work in progress, that design effort, but I would say it's about a two to two and a half hour experience to take it all in.
Okay. We're talking with Jim Connors, the COO of the National Medal of Honor Museum. Mary Ellen.
Jim, since Arlington is at least 20 miles outside of Dallas, please tell us what hotel facilities are nearby or will be built by 2024 when you open.
Sure. So, you know, we're based right in the middle of this sports and entertainment district, which is actually what it's called, in Arlington. By the time we open, right now there's two hotels within walking distance, very close walking distance of our site. And by the time we open, there'll be a third. Those three hotels alone have over 2,000 rooms. Arlington as a whole has, I think, over 7,000 hotel rooms in the Dallas-Fort Worth area as a whole region has over 100,000 hotel rooms. So for those folks who come to see us from outside the region and need a place to stay, there will certainly not be a shortage of places to stay, which is, again, another part of why we are so pleased with what Arlington had to offer us as a location when we made our final decision.
Mm. And Jim, tell us whether the Medal of Honor Museum is privately funded, and how can our listeners make contributions?
Sure. So we're trying to raise about $185 million to build and open this museum, both from a design and a construction perspective, including the design, fabrication, and installation of the exhibits and experiences that I referred to. We've raised about $65 million already in commitments and pledges, but we have a ways to go. And so folks could go to our website, nationalmedalofhonormuseum.org, and they can see how they could help us. And we would welcome any and all help in that regard.
Okay, that's perfect ending, and we're out of time. So our special guests tonight have been Staff Sergeant David Bellavia, a Medal of Honor recipient, and Jim Connors, Chief Operating Officer of the National Medal of Honor Museum. It's been an honor to talk. Thank you, David, and thank you, Jim. And that's it for this edition of Travel Itch Radio. Next week, same time, same station, same writer, and same announcers, we will talk to Valerie Stimack, author of Dark Skies, A Practical Guide to Astro-Tourism. We're not talking the Houston Astros here. Now, this is Dan Schlossberg, along with co-host Mary Ellen Nugent Lee, saying thank you for your time this time. Until next time, good night.